Next up on Express Yourself, I am joined by Robin Sutherland performing a benefit concert for the Sopra Sun on August 12th at the Redstone Castle. That is a sold-out event, but there are still two suites available. So you can find those tickets on tinyurl.com/suncastlebenefit if that is something that you're interested in. Thank you so much for joining. I always love...
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Excellent. Nothing makes me happier than when a phone call actually transitions successfully on air. So, so you're kind of a big deal for listeners. I'm just going to like lead with that. When you retired from your position with the orchestra, San Francisco declared it Robin Sutherland Day, correct?
They did. Yes.
See, I'll just humble brag for you. I'll just lead with things. That's great. So
I'm looking at the proclamation right now. All it means is that for 24 hours, you can park anywhere that you feel like in the city, which is in San Francisco. That's a very, very big deal.
That's practical sainthood, I think, in San Francisco.
I think, really, it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I have been through that torment, and I did it one time before I decided I was never bringing a car into that city ever again. So you are retired, but not too retired, because you are coming out to Carbondale in August.
Yes, there's a very big deal happening at Redstone Castle on Monday evening, August 12th, and I'm going to be part of that, and with my rear end on a piano bench, I cannot say 100% that I have retired, because I have not. There's still a lot of music. I will be coming, in fact, straight from my chamber music festival in Telluride.
Oh, wow.
Which winds up the day before, on Sunday the 11th, so I'm going to hop in the car and... get myself to Redstone or Bonedale or whatever, you know, whatever I find some point on that day. And we're going to have a great time that night up at the castle.
San Francisco, Telluride, Redstone. I'm so sorry that you have to go to some of the country's just nastiest places.
I know. Aren't they dreadful?
For those, like I said, the event has already sold out. And full disclosure, I am the reporter for the Sopra Sun. So I, for one, am particularly excited and appreciate this, because this is kind of our first foray into, I guess, what the layman would probably consider a highbrow evening. You've got a, you know, pianist that's a renowned pianist in a legitimate castle. I think those are the main check marks to call something highbrow. So I'm going to do it. What are you thinking? Are you willing to give us any kind of teasers? Is it just going to be purely classical? Are you going to feel some boogie in there? What are we thinking? Or do you not know? Is it just whatever the spirit flows?
I do know. And the answer to both questions is yes.
Excellent.
In the sense that some ragtime and stuff like that is considered classical music. Yeah, got some of that. I have a piece that was written for me last year. It's got the word stomp in the title, and it's
Ooh.
A well-chosen word.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So there's something for everybody, I'm just really excited about it. It's not the usual kind of recital program I would maybe tack together, but this event has special written all over it in a number of ways.
Okay.
So
I want to piggyback on something you just said, that ragtime is considered classical music. I think for a lot mm-hmm. of people, classical music is Mozart, Beethoven, and Bach, and that's where they run out of names. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what comprises classical music?
Well, I think the textbook definition, if there is one, is music that has stood the test of time. Does that How's that for starters?
I think that's a great starter and definitely is a little bit more inviting when you phrase it that way. Because, yeah, of course, ragtime has stood the test of time. Would we say jazz has stood the test of time?
Without doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, they convened a jury in New York City in the late 20s to discuss that very question at Carnegie Hall. And the verdict came back that, yes, jazz was okay. And we have stuff like the Rhapsody in Blue to prove it, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's Rhapsody in Blue is not going anywhere. And the good stuff will be around for a long time. Bach has managed since 1750 when he died. He's still very much on top of the heap. But people like living composers like John Adams, for instance, who is one of my professors. In fact, I'm playing some John Adams. He is the most performed American composer in the world. And has been for a number of years. He is the author of the huge opera called Nixon in China.
Wow.
That celebrates the, that famous event when Nixon went to see Chairman Mao. And that made John Adams very famous. But I'm bringing a little piece of ragtime that he has dedicated to me many years ago called Ragamarole. And I consider that to be very much classical music, unbuttoned classical music.
I like that, unbuttoned classical music. And, you know,
yeah, I just grabbed that word. I don't know if that makes any sense. But
no, I think I've got a good vision in my head, and I think it's,
yeah, it's
suitable
it's,
for
Carbondale.
That's what
it is. It's unbuttoned.
Yeah.
And it's one of my proudest possessions because... Well, just because of the composer and his reputation around the world, and it's he actually. I was a student of his when I left the Valley back in the early 70s, and he forgot that he wrote it for me. And I think he didn't forget about me. He forgot about it altogether. It's not even in his catalog of published works. So mm-hmm. I reminded him of that 2 years ago when he turned 70. And so we have sort of taken it off the shelves and dusted it off and giving it a few airings around the place. And it's a delightful piece. Delightful piece, and that's on the docket for Redstone.
That's exciting. Gosh, that's so interesting too. You think of different perspectives on giver and receiver ends of a transaction. Not that that's necessarily the best word like that, though, right? Like, you know, he's, like you said, this incredibly well-performed composer, and he doesn't even remember creating something that you described as one of your most valuable possessions. I feel awkward when somebody gives me a piece of jewelry that I think is just too special or something. Like, I'm like, I don't know how to receive gracefully. How do you receive something like that gracefully? Oh, here's this song that I wrote for you.
He wrote this piece in 72. When I was just a very young student. Let me find it. I have it off the shelf just because I'm practicing it for Redstone. He has written something. I'll just keep sort of chatting like an idiot while I thumb through some music. Ah, yes, here it is. He wrote this in 72, and then when I reminded him about it 2 years ago at his it's February 15th, 2017. He writes on the title page, "This rag is for Robin Sutherland, my dear and very naughty virtuoso pianist and drollest of raconteurs. Now, what does any of that mean? I have no idea.
We'd have to ask him. I was just going to say, what made you, what earned you a reputation as naughty in his mind?
Because we have this practice over the decades of sharing off-color jokes with each other.
Excellent.
And that, I have that sort of association with a number of people.
Good to know. I'm trying to think. I'm wondering if it's a child-friendly
event. I think it's not perhaps the time to share any of that stuff with you, so I'm not done too.
It's okay. We can fill in with the imaginations, right?
Exactly.
But I think that is, I mean, you know, you described that last aria that I played, you know, to introduce this interview as festive, right? And, you know, like the segments of a mandarin orange and you tell dirty jokes, right? So there's a playfulness that you insert into, I think, what some people could find as sort of an intimidating world, right? Like, there are certainly people who are like, oh, classical music, I don't, that's very pinkies out. I don't know that I'm pinkies out. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with your music?
When I approach a piece of music, I first of all attempt to figure out what its character is. That's easier these days than it was. For instance, if you have a piece of music by Johann Sebastian Bach, Bach wrote nothing on his score except for the notes. Half the time, we don't even know what instrument he intended a piece of music to be performed on. But in terms of fast, slow, loud, soft, he very sparing with his directions. Composers nowadays, they have a broad vocabulary of, let's call them stage directions, and they use them. And that makes life for the performer a great deal easier. But determining the character of a piece, I think, is the first of the things that I try to work for. The last thing that emerges from the preparation process is the tempo of the piece.
Interesting.
Some tunes just have a speed that they work at best. And that, for me, that emerges at the end of the process.
So you're not necessarily counting bars on a very specific, you've moved beyond the confines of a metronome. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yes. the beat can be stretched and played with rhythmically, but the pulse must remain constant.
Sure. Cool.
The pulse of the piece must remain constant until the composer tells you to change it.
When you're talking about finding the character of a single piece, I imagine that some thought went into cultivating a character of an evening. So in the case of the Redstone Castle, you've said that, you know, it's kind of got special written all over it. Did you put thought into what kind of character you wanted to create in terms of the larger piece, as in the larger performance, not just the individual, songs comprising it?
I think the character of the evening, the music, and my commentary about it, I like to chat a little bit about what I'm doing, because Rod Stewart used to tell us that every picture tells a story, and so does every piece of music have a story, and when I think they're interesting enough, I share those stories before I play the piece, and it right away makes the music more approachable, because I'm a big fan of tearing down the pedestal on which classical music seems to rest in a lot of people's minds.
Sure. You know, when you talk about...
Not irreverent.
No, never.
That's not what I meant, but these we're dealing with expressions of human beings who are as alive as you and I are right now, and some still are alive in the case of John Adams, very much alive. But I don't look at things very much. I try to avoid treating things like even a sonata of Franz Joseph Haydn, which here I'm leaking the whole program. That's also on the program. But I put the Haydn there because he is in the line of piano pedagogy. In other words, my teachers, piano teachers, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm. I stand at only six removed from Franz Joseph Haydn.
Wow.
He's my great-great-great-great-great-grand teacher.
Wow.
If you want to think of it in terms of that.
I do. I like this family lineage.
I like it, you know, because, I mean, I'm more clear on my pedagogical lineage than I am on my actual family lineage back that far. Can't do it. But at the keyboard, I can. So he's one of my ancestors, and he has a story, too, that I'm not going to tell you now, but I'm going to keep until the time.
No worries.
But my vision for the evening is, well, I like to, it's fun to be surrounded by stuff like that at the Redstone Castle. That was a way of life for a certain group of people, and it was into those living rooms or great rooms or salons or whatever you want to call them, that classical music entered the private home.
Yeah. I like that your relationship
and,
with music
and
is
chamber
to
music,
people, too.
Chamber music was born in exactly that setting. So what I'm doing is really much better suited to the great room of the castle, seating 60, approximately, is much better suited for that than if I were to do the same recital at Symphony Hall here in San Francisco, seating 2,800 people. Same music, same event, but it will have a completely different character. It's going to be more intimate. It's going to be more, I won't say casual necessarily, because evenings like this, this is when a lot of people head to their closets and get out the good stuff.
I literally already know what I'm wearing, just so we're clear.
Excellent. Nice. Shall we talk about it, or are you going to keep it?
No. Much like you have to withhold some of your program, I can't just reveal wardrobe decisions this early. My goodness.
No. And it was insensitive of me to ask. I'm sorry.
Well, you're talking to somebody whose job it is to pry and be rude. So, you know, I think we're even.
We're going to get along splendidly. Sure.
I'm looking forward to it. Robin, I could speak to you forever. Unfortunately, the only thing I don't like about the radio is I'm a slave to the clock. But thank you so much for coming home to your home base and you know,
thank
getting back
you.
To your
and
roots.
In passing, may I just quickly give a shout-out to the birthday girl in Carbondale today?
Oh, of course.
That is Leanne Eustace. That is Leanne Eustace, and whatever she's doing, I hope she is having a very, very happy day.
Excellent. It's a good day here in Carbondale.
Yes, and it's going to be a good night in Redstone come Monday, August 12th. I can guarantee it.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will meet you in person in August.
Back at you, Megan. Thank you so much, dear.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.